As we continue our study on the subject of finding faith and cultivating it, we must make every effort to read the scriptures the way we should, we were meant to. And one of the ways in which we should go about it whenever we read the Gospels is to take the trouble to examine every text when they are compared together. They are what we call parallel texts. And one of the biggest challenges and disciplines is to examine each particular text, because no single text will actually give you all the nuances, all the details that you would like to have. And so the challenge is always to take the trouble, look at the text. Sometimes a text is found in three different places, and our part is to examine and to check everyone. The second part of it is to seek the Lord in prayer, humbly asking the Lord to grant grace and wisdom to read, to fathom, and only then perhaps we would be able to catch glimpses of how our faith can improve. With that, let's begin with a word of prayer together, and then let's learn how we can read the Lord's word the way we should. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we have a challenge to read your word with greater understanding, with greater meaning. And we pray that you'll help us in our search to cultivate faith, to see ourselves mirrored in the scriptures, to see ourselves struggling like the disciples, but at the same time be like them, finding an answer to the problem of weakness of faith. And so we pray that you will bless us as we take time to read your word once again. Grant us your grace, your wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today our text, our study of the Word of God is on the subject of how the disciples were actually tested in their faith. Now, the kind of test that the Lord Jesus gave to them is not a kind of test that we do in school, where you are told when the exam dates would be. You have a lot of time to cram for those exams. And then you think, well, I'm going to be ready and I'm going to score an A on that. The tests of life are seldom things that you can mug for, you can cram for. It's there and then, it is sudden. And if you don't have that faith that is there, you will find that you will actually not succeed. Is it easy to actually build a strong and significant faith? And the plain, simple answer is no. It may be a humbling thought, but it is a realistic one. The next question would be, what does it take to actually build a significant faith? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ desired, of course, his disciples not only to follow him. You see, to follow the Lord Jesus is not a question of just simply, literally following him. See what he sees, feel what he does, and then, hey, presto, faith will come out. That's a common mistake that many people make, that if you are, with somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody great, somebody inspiring, naturally, your faith will also be just as inspiring. It doesn't work that way. And the Lord Jesus knew. And so what he did was to give to them all the things that they needed to cultivate that faith. What did he do? Well, he gave them the Word of God. And so we read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed. He illuminated. He inspired. Now, all those things are important because we don't take the time to read the Lord's Word properly that we are going to find that we are no better at the end of the day. The teaching of the Lord's word is such that the Lord Jesus Christ practiced three things. One, he taught. Two, he corrected. Three, he exhorted. The perhaps greatest difficulty is in the correction part. Nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody finds it easy to be corrected. And yet, if we don't, the mistakes will remain and the faith will continue to be weak. Well, this is the challenge for us to read the Lord's word. And of course, there are other things such as experience, such as seeing, such as, you know, asking questions from the Lord in order to find the faith that we need. And yet, at the same time, that faith may not pass the tests of life. And faith may actually remain weak and small, even though years may have passed. This is a humbling reality, and yet it must not be ignored. I would rather know where I am weak, that I may learn how I may be strong, rather than to assume that I'm strong when actually I am not. And so the faith of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be dealt with. There were many things that were going for them in many ways. For example, they had a special call from the Lord. And he said to each one of them, come, follow me. And they did. And they made significant decisions too. They left their all, they followed the Lord. And that was quite a bit of sacrifice. But would that in itself make strong faith? Not really. See, that's the thing. We think that if I give up something, therefore my faith is stronger. No, it's just simply a necessity. Without being giving up certain things, we probably not realize the value of what we have been given. So there comes the call. Then, of course, there was the instruction from the Lord. And that is special. To be instructed by the Lord, to be told step by step what to know, what to believe in, to be corrected. Every single thing, there is an opportunity to cultivate faith. Then, of course, there was the first-hand experience of seeing the Lord Jesus perform miracle after miracle. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, demons were cast out. Everyone, every experience was actually possible for faith to grow further. And yet, the reality of it all is that faith did not grow as much as the disciples imagined it did. And so these problems were there. Of course, there was much fellowship with the Lord Jesus as well. And that was wonderful. Imagine being able, first thing in the morning, to see the Lord in prayer. And then to see how each day, every day, was filled with things to do, important things to do. This person to teach, that person to encourage, the other person to be healed. What an inspirational day that must be. Theoretically, the disciples had every reason to actually develop a strong faith. And yet, how do you know whether you have a strong faith? We all read the Lord's word, we feel encouraged, we are in touch with our Sunday school teachers and our Sunday school classmates, and then we all assume that our faith in the Lord is strong and secure until there comes a testing of faith. Well, we're going to look at these three texts very carefully. So the notes given to you is that we begin with Mark. The reason why we begin with Mark is because not because it was anything spectacular. It's just that Mark's approach is actually very, the lines are simple, they are stark, they are bold, that's it. But when you take a look at Matthew, Matthew tends to collect things together. He tends to collate things together. And so you will not see always a chronological understanding or connection. You just need to know that they are put together. And then, of course, Luke is the analytical one. He will take a look at different things or look at the same thing, and he will make observations which are quite significant. Well, let's take a look at the Gospel of Mark and chapter 4, to begin with, right? So then let's take a look at the description of what happened. And this is in Mark 35 to 41. On the same day, when evening had come, so the whole day had been spent in ministry, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude and took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Now, that seems like a normal thing. And then a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, this was a sudden windstorm that came up. And of course, now these, many of them were fishermen. Being fishermen, they are used to storms. They have seen storms before, but not this one. In the language of the world, we call this a perfect storm. A storm that is just inexplicable, and yet it suddenly came up. It was sudden, it was unexpected, it was fierce, and obviously they were terrified. And so what came out was, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, as you take a look at this, before we make any conclusions, let's look at the Gospel of Matthew now, and we see this. Right? In Matthew 23 to 27, we see this a little bit. Now, when he got into a boat, disciples followed him. And suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea. So we see this tempest as a tempest, in other words, a storm. Right? Mark talked about a windstorm. So that the boat was covered with the waves. Water had gotten in, and they were in danger of sinking. And we read, "But he was asleep. Then disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.'" Now, we have a different approach now. In Mark, now we have quite a number of disciples. So one would call him teacher. Another one would call him Lord. So we have actually glimpses of different disciples speaking. And one of them was called him teacher, one called him Lord. Now let's look at Luke chapter 8 now, 22 and verse 35. Let's take a look, right? Now on happened the day, he got into a boat with his disciples and he said, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. So Luke tells us the windstorm came, the water was coming in, they were in jeopardy, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Now, we have three different words to describe the Lord Jesus. See, usually when people speak up in a moment of fear, their regard for the person actually comes out. So to many of them, Jesus was simply teacher. Now the word epistata, the word master here, was actually the term that Peter would call the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, for example, Peter called him master, until he switched over to Lord. So you can imagine that their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was firstly teacher, secondly Lord, also master, and then thirdly he was also Lord. Now the first two, the teacher and the master part of it all, if you read it in context, you will find that it is a formal relationship. It's not necessarily a close relationship. But the Lord, the word Lord, while it may suggest a closer understanding, it does not tell you exactly as to the kind of faith they actually had. So whichever term was used in all three different Gospels, you will realize that there seemed to be a closeness, a trusting elements that should have been there in faith. They were caught off guard. There was a storm on the one hand, and the Lord Jesus Christ was resting, sleeping on the other hand. They couldn't compute them. How can anyone be sleeping, resting, when they were in danger of perishing? And all they saw was a storm. The Lord Jesus seems to be not in touch with reality, and panic. How does faith come in? It doesn't. That is the problem. Right? So the response of the disciples was not one of faith. It was one of fear. Strongly so. Right? And so you see this. There's a teacher, there is a master, there is a Lord response, but essentially behind the polite terms is the problem of fear, and it was deeply founded. Well, let's take a look now at the Lord Jesus Christ and how he responded. In Mark, let's look at Mark very carefully, and we see this. In Mark, in chapter 4, we read, "Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" Now, that is an interesting word. Can you see this? Now, so the Lord's response is absolutely important. Now, let's look at Matthew now, and we'll see what we see in Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 now. And then we read, and very clearly in verse 26. And he said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Now, Matthew was a little kinder. Mark is very stark. But actually, it comes to the same thing. Right? Now, this is absolutely important for us. Well, Luke didn't comment on that. But it is enough to take a note. Mark says plainly, how is it you have no faith? Matthew says you have little faith. What does it mean? Do they clash? No. What does it mean? Matthew's observation was there was some faith, but that faith was not equal to the occasion. So if there is a little faith, does it really, really help? Frankly, not a whole lot. It's just like, having a little strength. But if I need great strength, my little strength, it's not as if I have no strength at all, but if I have little strength, what good would that do me? Frankly, nothing much. That was a stark reality. So the idea of little faith or no faith is essentially about the same. So I may start off with, I have faith in Jesus as my Savior. He's my teacher, he's my master, he's my Lord. Nice terms. But what does that really mean? Right? Maybe there is some faith. Maybe there is even little faith. But the challenge is to ask, does that faith equal to the occasion that calls me to exercise my faith? What if my faith does not measure up? Now, that was a stark reality. Well, let's take a look now at the response of the disciples. From again here, go back to the Gospel of Mark. Well, let's see what Mark notes further. "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Now, that was a problem. You see, they called Jesus teacher. That's it. Anybody can be a teacher. The scribes and the Pharisees are called rabbis. They can be called, in other words, they're teachers too. But is that all the Lord Jesus Christ is to us, a teacher? That he's wise, he's wonderful, he's insightful, he's sharp, He is everything we may call brilliant. But is that all? Believing in the Lord as a teacher does not necessarily equal deep faith. In fact, as we read in Mark, this text here, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him, will tell you that they really did not know the Lord Jesus Christ the way they should have. They saw the miracles of Jesus. They heard Jesus' teaching. And what stood out to him was, wow, Jesus is the great teacher. He's more authority than the scribes and the Pharisees. He's nothing like them, or they're nothing like him. Stop. They saw the miracles. And after a while, they took for granted, you know, he's a healer. But that's not the point. The question is, how far does our faith extend? And that's important. The disciples did not ask that question. And so when they saw Jesus in the new elements, being able to speak, as it were, to the wind and to the waves, and they obey him, they were astonished. They didn't know what to do with this piece of knowledge. Did it create the faith that was desired? Frankly, not at all. See, this word here that we're talking about, first, there was the fear of dying, the fear of the wind and the sea. And now there is a fear of the Lord Jesus because they didn't understand him. There is a fear that comes with understanding, but there is a fear that does not come with understanding. So how does this help? Not much, because you just add another level of fear. This is not faith. This is not the kind of faith that the Lord Jesus wanted them to have. Well, let's take a look at the Gospel of Matthew now, and we will see how this works out. Verse 27, Matthew 8, so the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? They were absolutely astonished, they were marveling, and that's all there is to it. Now the question is, what did they actually learn? Well, in Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ raised the question, where is your faith? Mark, no faith. Matthew, little faith. The Lord Jesus Christ asked, where is your faith? And we read, and they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. What did they learn from this incident? Now, that is a big question. And I think as we take a look, we may not actually go through a storm like this. But if we do, if we were to actually go through such a storm, how would we experience? I think this is important for us to understand. The story is told of how John and Charles Wesley one day were in a ship. And they were traveling from the U.S. back to England. And they were caught in a storm. And in the storm, they were terrified, just like the disciples were. They were absolutely terrified. Now then they saw a group of people. They were missionaries like they were. But they were Moravians. These were the missionaries supported by Count Zinzendorf. And what amazed John and Charles Wesley was the fact that these men in the same storm on board the same ship were singing, were trusting. And they asked, well, are you not afraid? And they were absolutely amazed at the confidence, at the trust. Anytime they could have lost their lives, but they were literally unafraid. Now, fear is not something that you can manipulate. Fear is not something you can easily control because it is so deep that it actually will overwhelm you. It will paralyze your mind. It will cause your heart to flutter. It will actually affect you physically, emotionally, unless faith comes in. Now, we may not have the same kind of actual physical storm in the sea experience, but seriously. Let's take a look at our lives. When exams approach nearer and nearer, how do you feel? And watch. The normal common fear is that of panic, of that of just a state of, we are just unable to overcome the sense of fear that we may fail. Or illness. Suddenly we are afraid. You know, many people are afraid of this COVID-19. And after a while, it stays on longer. People take it for granted, it's not going to happen to me. Or until they have bad news that they've got cancer. What is our response to that? And you'll find that many people are actually not prepared. And so fear takes over. What the Lord Jesus wanted for his disciples was to have faith to take over. Knowledge in the Lord must lead to a strong, significant faith in the Lord, so that whatever we face, age, illness, crisis, whatever, our faith kicks in. And we are actually able to look at the challenges of life and say, you know, I have faith and I can, I'm not afraid and I'm not deterred. You see, the lessons that we must learn from this particular study are very, very obvious. Number one, we cannot assume faith. We may follow the Lord Jesus. We may read the scriptures. We may think we are learning a lot, but knowledge in itself does not equal faith. Nor for that matter, experience, it does not equal faith either. Let me say this. There is such a thing as quality of faith. No faith, little faith, where is your faith? Is a statement that we have to seriously consider very carefully. What is the true state of our faith? And you will never actually know it until you are tested. And when it is tested, our faith is tested, we have to ask ourselves, what would emerge? And frankly, you have no idea what will emerge. And so sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ has to allow the testings of our life, of our faith, to happen so that we can learn the lessons that we would not otherwise learn as we read the scriptures. So as we read the scriptures, we can discover faith and develop it. And then there is the testing of faith and we fail in that test. That is the kind of learning that we must not take for granted. There is tremendous value in learning from failure, learning from mistakes, learning that will help us develop a stronger faith. And so we have to look at it honestly. Mark wrote honestly, so did Matthew, so did Luke in his analysis. The reality of it all was that the disciples at this stage of following the Lord Jesus Christ, they were not ready. They were not strong. They were weak. In Mark's language, the word here, why are you so fearful? Literally, that word translated could be simply, why are you cowardly? You see, the fear was to such an extent that it was not just phobia. It was not just phobos in the Greek thing. It is a word that describes one who is like feeling like a coward, unable. We're just unable to measure up. That was the kind of fear that the Lord Jesus Christ saw in the hearts of the disciples. Now, we have to ask ourselves next. What do we learn from? Where do we go from there? Right? They had to go back to the fact that they did not know the Lord Jesus as well as they think they did. Yes, he was their teacher. They were associated with him. Yes, they were his disciples. But we must ask ourselves, what is lacking? See, it's important to know what is there. But it's also important to know what is lacking. And it is in the test of life that we will know what is there and what is not there. There is knowledge, that's true. Question is, to what extent is that knowledge embedded? There is some trust in the Lord. Otherwise, they would not have left their all to follow Jesus. The question is that trust deep enough? Is there faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that He is indeed the Son of God? Yes. But how does it apply in real life? If the faith is not able to be applied in real life, it is not a great faith in any way at any time. Today, if we were to check our response, how would we check? Yeah, the best way to check is what I call a first response check. When you see something, what is your first response? Now, that is an important thing. Sometimes our first response is panic. Our first response is fear. Our first response is blame, or worse, resignation. This was how the disciples felt. Their first response was not great. And we have to ask ourselves, what then? We need candidness, we need honesty to face ourselves for who we are, what we are, and then go on to the next stage. How may we cultivate our faith? And I want to say this word candidly. I would rather face the fact that, one, my knowledge is limited. Two, my faith is even worse. I want to tell the Lord, yes, I have little faith. This faith is so little, it is like no faith. Where is my faith, you ask me? You know, I can't find it. I would rather face myself candidly, honestly, and say, you know, I've got problems. Because when I hit rock bottom, there is no way but up. But if I keep on telling myself, I'm okay, I'll make it, I will rise from this, we are going to find that that little faith is going to persist. It may be with a bit of shame, maybe a bit of disheartening feeling that we may have, but it is better that we know where we are, who we are, what we are, and the state of our faith, and then do something about it. What would I do? What practical steps would I take if I have failed? And I think all of us have failed. At one point or another, we were discouraged, we were in despair. The question is, what could I do? I know I applied this lesson to myself, and this was the first thing I said to myself, you know what, I am going to deepen my knowledge. He is not going to be just teacher, he's not going to be just epistata, master, he is going to be Lord, but not just in name. I want the Lord to be so real in my life. My first response is one of faith. Now, this is important for me to work on. Two, I know what it means to cultivate trust. Some days the workload seems very heavy, and we just wonder whether you will be able to complete what you need to do each day. What do? Instead of giving in to fear, let there be faith. Let there be a practice of real trust in God, and then carry on. Deal with the deep fears of the heart. What are we afraid of? Let's face ourselves. We are afraid of failure. We are afraid that we will bring shame to our own heart. We are afraid that we can't measure up. It's only when we face our fears that faith begins to actually grow and develop. And that is what we need to do. That's what we need to consider. Let me challenge all of us to look at this lesson very, very thoroughly, very carefully. Like the disciples, we may have failed too. Let's not be ashamed of it, that we can fail. Can Sunday school teachers fail? Yes. Can pastors lack that faith? Yes. And the faster, the more candidly we are able to face ourselves, the better we will be. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to understand this. They were disciples. They were appointed, as it were, apostles. If you look at Mark chapter 3, they were appointed apostles. This is an incident that came up in Mark chapter 4, and you begin to realize that even though they were called apostles, they still lacked that faith. Right? So let's not be afraid to admit that we all struggle with faith problems. And the day we admit it is the day when we begin to grow humbler. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And this is where, in humility, we tell the Lord, Lord, I really need to grow my faith. Help me. And the Lord will. The Lord will. And this must be our comfort and our challenge. Can we arise and become stronger? Yes. But it begins with, sadly to say, but honest to say that, it begins with failure. Failure is an opportunity for our faith to grow, and grow significantly. Let's not fear failure. It is humbling, but it is good for our heart, for our soul, to realize that we are not as strong as we like people to imagine we are, but it is where deep down the Lord can and will help us to cultivate this strong faith. Let's pray for this. Our Father, we thank you for the scriptures which are open, which are honest, which are candid. And we realize to our horror that our faith is really not as strong as we imagine it to be, or as we would like to give the impression to people. Father, forgive our foolishness. Forgive us the deceit of our own hearts, the fear that seems to prevail so much. And we are afraid, afraid of the future, afraid of ourselves, afraid of the failure. And we want to bring all these things over to you. Teach us that knowledge that will help us build faith, so that we will not be ruled or overwhelmed by fear, but to find that faith, to press on, to find that faith to become stronger, wiser, better. And Father, we pray for your grace and your mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.